Friends, I invite you to join me into a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we ask that you illuminate the scripture we heard in our minds and in our hearts so that we may fully understand you, understand your way, and what you have called us to do. In your name we pray, amen. Even the universe is telling us that we can never get too far from the place that has created us. How there is always a streak of our past trailing close behind us. We bring a part of where we are from to every place we go. We heard this poem, Meteor Showers, by Clint Smith, in its entirety as our call to worship for today's service. Clint Smith, author, podcaster, historian, activist, has made a career out of studying education, slavery, social systems, race, and anti-Black racism, and the prison industrial complex in the United States. For his dissertation from Harvard Graduate School of Education, he interviewed 27 folks who had been sentenced to juvenile life without parole, meaning they were convicted as minors to spend the rest of their lives in prison. And yes, Clint Smith is an esteemed, educated, award-winning, hardworking figure whose prolific life has challenged and motivated and moved readers and listeners. But what if I told you that Clint Smith is also a spouse, a husband, a survivor of Hurricane Katrina, a big professional soccer fan, a teacher of the year in a Maryland high school, a poet of endings and sunsets and growing up, and a graduate of Davidson College, my and Maggie's alma mater? Something I admire most about Clint is how he can weave his past and his personal details of his life into his poetry, his nonfiction, and his public persona. Where he is from, as Smith may say, does not detract from his work, but rather the details of his life are threads of the larger narratives he tells. The narratives in which we as a society live and breathe, and the narratives that shock and horrify and compel and soothe and make us sad and make us laugh and, most importantly, make us hope. He is a storyteller weaving his life with our own. In today's reading from the Gospel of John, we hear the disciple Nathanael of Cana ask Jesus this question, "How do you know who I am?" And what is Jesus' response? He says, "Before Philip even went to call you, while you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. I saw you," Jesus says. And the gospel reading couples with our Hebrew Bible reading from 1 Samuel. God calls young Samuel three times by name. And I love how childlike Samuel is in this portrayal. "Here I am, Eli. You called for me." "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." God calls Samuel in this childlike way just before he becomes Samuel the prophet, before Samuel is called the seer a few chapters later. We hear from Scripture, in those days, the voice of God was rarely heard. Prophecy was uncommon. Yet God sees Samuel and calls him into discipleship, calling him to fulfill this important and needed role for the benefit of God, to serve God, and the benefit of his society. "How do you know me?" "I see you. I call you by name not once, but three times." On MLK weekend each year, we are called to reflect on our lives within this beautiful and maddening and tragic and hopeful and lovely quilt we call humanity. We ask ourselves, how do we spend our time? How do our actions engender good in this world? How do we put out actions that are additive to each other, not extractive from each other, whose lives matter to us? How can peace and service be not just a weekend-long thought exercise, but rather a lifelong promise in the spirit of Christ, in the spirit of the prophets, in the spirit of figures like MLK? And I think this is the question that MLK really tries to get at in most of his writings and his speeches. How can we more often and more deeply see the humanity of our siblings? How can we more often and more deeply see the humanity of our siblings? When I was thinking about MLK and reading through our scripture texts, I kept thinking of the word legacy. Not just MLK's legacy, which is always important to contemplate all days of the year, but especially this time of the year, but also what is the legacy we, the legacy I, want to impart on this world? When I'm gone and people have a few words about me, they have a few adjectives, how do I want to be remembered? What are the ways that I want my own narrative to be constructed? And how can I start that construction right now? As you well know, MLK was a magnificently talented orator and storyteller, his life intersecting with our own collective experience. And what he preached about and wrote about 60 years ago, after his assassination, is still just as true today as it was then. And here's why. Writers like MLK, like Clint Smith, and like the authors of the Bible, invite their audience to see them or see their characters vulnerably, wholly, asking us to pay attention to how their past blends into their present and into their future, inseparably so, as they speak with conviction and truth and revelation. In doing so, they too invite us into the vulnerable wholeness of being seen, asking us to contemplate how our past and our present blend into our future, knowing that who we have been can never be taken from us, that it's always part of our story. They invite us into the vulnerable wholeness of being seen. Our humanity awaiting embrace, the spirit spark of divinity inside each of us awaiting kindling. There's the hope, too, that we will be able to see that humanity mirrored in others when we see it in ourselves. For inside all of us, we are prophet, weeping woman, hermit, betrayer, instigator, peacemaker, dancer to David's lyre, capable of great restoration and, of course, great destruction. These are the parts we love and the parts we love less of ourselves that are merged into who we are today. Remember, there are so many things the world does want to know about you that maybe you don't want to share, but that God already knows about you and loves about you, has chosen to love about you. My question for you today is, if the world could know one small, strong, and perfect thread in your life's tapestry, if you could make yourself as vulnerable as the authors of the Bible, as Clint Smith, as MLK, what would you choose to share? Just one small, strong, and perfect thread. Could you let yourself be seen? Do you give others permission to see you? And in doing so, is there a chance you could be brave enough to see yourself mirrored in another? Friends, may God's love overcome our discomfort with loving ourselves and loving others wonderfully and fearfully. May God call us into being with ourselves. May we sit with ourselves and with others. May we embrace the powerful and mystifying truth of vulnerability by sharing our stories, speaking our truth, pursuing justice, and embracing each other in our imperfect and challenging and maddening and beautiful humanity. May we share, may we see, may we receive stories, and may we see others. Amen.